Our first scripture reading is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter, and we begin a reading at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, or he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter, and we read verses 1 through 7. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room, place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. We read again from the Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter at verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace.
Jesus. Amen. The text for this evening is well-known words, but probably not the way you typically find them on a greeting card. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This is our text. You know, within all of humanity, there is a certain resistance to change. But I think within the Christian church, which is built on the idea that God's promises to us never change, there is perhaps an even greater, though often detrimental, resistance to any kind of change. For instance, if you were living in the second or third century AD, and you were in the western part of the world, including Europe, you may have spoke Latin. Not everybody did. But to make God's word clear to as many people as possible, in the fourth century, a man by the name of Jerome translated the original Greek of Scripture and Hebrew into Latin to make the word of God more available to all people. It was a good translation. But then for the next 1400 years, as the church spread into France and into Germany and into England and to all kinds of other places, when you went to church on Christmas Eve, the Christmas account that we just read this evening was read to you. It was read in Latin. Didn't matter if you didn't speak Latin, it was read to you in Latin. Oh, many people still knew that language. It was the language of the educated people, the prominent business people. Back in that day, that might be 10, 20% of the population. Quite frankly, many people for over 1,000 years had no idea what they were hearing. Then came the Reformation of the church in the 1500s. And the Word of God began to be translated into English, into German, into all kinds of other languages, so that the people of God could again hear the word in their own native tongues. But the translations, as even is true today, were not without some kind of difficulties and problems. For instance, perhaps the most well-known Bible translation of all time, the King James Bible, which strove to be as good a translation as it could be at that time, faced certain difficulties. For instance, it wanted to be a faithful translation from the original languages of all the scripture, which were written in Hebrew and in Greek. Problem is, when the King James Bible was translated, they didn't actually possess a Greek copy of the book of Revelation. And so they asked a scholar to take a Latin copy, translate it into Greek, so that on the cover page of the King James Bible, it could say, translated from the original languages of Hebrew and Greek. Even though one of them was a Latin translation translated into Greek. And there were other difficulties down through the years. For instance, coming out of the days of the Spanish Inquisition, people were often tortured when they were suspected of not holding to the truth. The language of Hebrew was not very well known, because to know it, you would have to associate with Jewish people. That didn't look good. And in the Hebrew Bible, when vowels were added to it, originally it had no vowels, just had consonants. When the vowels were later added to it, the Hebrew people, the Jews, were so fearful of the second commandment, "Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," that they made up their minds, well, if we don't ever say God's name, then we can't ever take it in vain. And so to keep people from actually saying the name of God, when they added vowels to the Hebrew text, they added vowels for a different word. The Hebrew word was Adonai. Now, originally, the name was Yahweh, but they switched the vowels. And if you were native-speaking Hebrew, the vowels they put in there made the word almost unpronounceable, which was precisely the point. Well, when they translated the Bible into the King James English, they didn't know that, if you will, trick that was in the Hebrew manuscripts. So they tried to translate the name of the Lord, and it came out Jehovah. So if you have a King James Bible, wherever you say Jehovah, that was an attempt to translate a word that was never supposed to be spoken. And it really should be Yahweh, or something very similar to that. All in all, though, for its time period, it was a great and majestic translation. And when you look at your Christmas cards, and if they have some verses from Scripture on it, they're generally in the King James English. My text for this evening is one of those popular verses. Glory to God in the highest. But how do you usually hear it or see it? Peace on earth. Everybody fill it in for me. Goodwill, you all know it. But frankly, it was not a very good translation. What we have in most modern translations is quite different. It's not peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's peace on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. It sounds good. And it's something we yearn for. We never quite seem to achieve it. For ultimately, God didn't send his son Jesus into this world to bring peace to this world full of sin. And if that is what you're expecting out of Christ, our Lord and Savior, you will forever be sadly mistaken. Even at his birth, he didn't bring peace. When King Herod got wind that there might be someone to replace him on the throne of Israel, he was afraid. He loved his power and his authority. And he did something horrifying. He sent his soldiers into Bethlehem. And based on the report of the wise men not being exactly sure when the supposed king was born, he had every child under 2 years of age killed, ripped from their mother's arms, probably slaughtered right in front of their eyes. The purpose of Christ was to bring peace on earth. His birth sure didn't accomplish that. Nor did his ministry. The longer he preached, and what did he preach about? He preached about God's love. What did he preach that we should be doing? Well, he preached that we should be loving one another. But the more he preached and the more he proclaimed the truth of God, the angrier the ruling authorities became with him. Numerous times throughout his ministry, they tried to have him killed. And one day they finally acceded. They got Judas to betray him, and Peter was so scared, he denied him 3 times. Where was peace? They nailed him to a cross and spent the afternoon sitting beneath it. If you are the Christ, come down from there, then we'll believe in you. Such mockery he endured. Such pain. And then he died. Where was peace on earth? And nothing's really changed. Look at our world today. The anger, the name calling, the shaming goes on in political conversations. Families being torn apart over things that ultimately, in terms of our eternal salvation, maybe don't matter at all. In our cities, you paid attention to the news, what's been going on during the wonderful Christmas holiday shopping center. Rioting and looting. Places like San Francisco, Chicago, LA. Major shopping districts almost shut down completely. Crime so rampant. The city of Chicago, and I forget the number, but it goes up by 10 or 12 or so every week. Just this last year, some 250 people murdered. Where is the peace on earth? Where is the goodwill to men? It's not there. And it's important for us to understand that when Christ was born, that's not what God was promising. It's something we wish for, and something we can pray for. But it's not something that will ever happen in a world full of sin. But there is a priest that Christ did bring. A peace that we can experience on earth even when there's turmoil all around us. It's the peace, for instance, that Christ can bring to a guilty conscience. To people full of self-hatred for what they have done in life. Oh, we may try to make up for the sins we've committed in the past. But it never really brings peace to the conscience. Because deep down inside, we know that the price for the things we have done is too high for us to pay. But when God took on human flesh and was born, and suffered and died and rose again from the dead, the price we couldn't pay, he did pay for us. So that when we stand before God on a judgment day, despite the sins that we have committed on earth, we don't have to stand in fear. We can look upon God with peace and joy in our heart, because when he looks upon those who please him, he sees us not sinners, but as people clothed in the righteousness of his own Son, Jesus Christ, holy, innocent, perfect in his sight. On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So what does God ask us to do to please him? In reality, it's not what we do. It's our faith in what he has done. That's what pleases him. Jews once asked Jesus, looking up in the Gospel of John, 5th chapter, I believe, what must we be doing to do the works of God? Jesus said, believe on him whom he has sent. That's it. That's what pleases God. That's what opens up to us all the blessings and the promises that he has made to us. In Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. We also have the hope of eternal life. And you know, that particular hope is one of the things that frustrates the world so much. Because when you have that hope, the world loses its power over you. Luther said it really well in that hymn, A Mighty Fortress. And take they my life, goods, fame, child, and wife, they yet have nothing won. He's judged, the deed is done, the kingdom ours remaineth. Well, that doesn't mean life for us in this world is going to be pleasant. But here's what we know through Christ. There's nothing the world can take from you that God can't restore. And when you believe in that, it strips the world of its power to intimidate, its power to shame, its power to threaten, because we know he's already won. The kingdom will remain ours no matter what they say to us, no matter what they do to us. It gives you a peace on earth that the world, in all of its meanness, its hatred, its anger, its lust for power, for control, cannot take from you and me. Not because we're so strong, but because God has already won the victory. It was when he loved us so much, he sent his son. Go, take their flesh, make it yours. Take the punishment they deserve, make it yours. Take the mockery, the pain, the suffering, the death, make it yours. Conquer it all for them. Then give them the right to be a child of God forever, simply by believing in what you have done. My friends in Christ, when you believe that, you will have peace, even living on earth. Not because there's peace here on earth. There never will be. Not because there's goodwill to men, because a lot of people will hate you for what you believe. But there will be peace. And you'll experience it on earth and one day in heavenly glory if you're one who pleases God. And what pleases him? To have faith in the one he sent. The babe of Bethlehem, the Christ of Calvary, who now sits at the right hand of God, the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.